It's 12 p.m. here in the city, RC 101.9 FM. Coming up next, Amy Goodman with Democracy Now!
From London, this.
I know many people feel that at the start of Israel's military action in Gaza, my party didn't get it right, and I am sorry, has too often not been good enough. We need to do better.
As Britain's new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, Labour Party's stance on Gaza, we'll speak to Britain's leader, British MP Jeremy Corbyn. He recently that concluded Britain was complicit in genocide.
Today, we teach children about history's worst war crimes against humanity. They're asked to reflect about how those crimes, our future history books, will report with shame those that had the opportunity to stop this carnage, but failed.
We'll speak with British MP Jeremy Corbyn and the other co-chairs of the Gaza Tribunal, the Israeli political scientist Neve Gordon, and a Palestinian-Jordanian international law expert. We will talk about the tribunal, their new book, and Britain's escalating crackdown on pro-Palestinian activists. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We're broadcasting from the UK, from London. In Colombia, the death toll from Monday's massive earth, 250, and is expected to rise as search and rescue crews under rubble. More than 2,700 people, if more, are injured. This is a volunteer helping to search for victims in the city of Pereira, which was left devastated by the earthquake.
Here and two more over there. Thank God, they're unharmed, not too badly injured. Everything's going well, thanks to all of us.
Geologists report that Monday's earthquake was the strongest to hit 70. The United States Navy said Tuesday it had fired on a Panama-flag cargo ship attempting to break the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports in the Gulf of Oman. The missile strikes were prone, leaving it disabled. The Pentagon did not say whether it killed or injured any sailors. The attack came as President Trump told reporters U.S. Strait of Hormuz. Trump's claim came as mediators in Qatar announced that negotiations between Iran and Oman over the Strait of Hormuz have reached an advanced stage. This is a spokesperson for Qatar's foreign ministry.
Statements from both capitals in the recent couple of days, and we are eagerly awaiting. Our main priority here is the reopening of the Strait, maintaining the ceasefire, and making sure that we are in negotiation.
The emerging deal would see vessels enter the strait along, and ships exiting the strait would follow a southern route through Omani waters. Meanwhile, six people were killed and 10 others wounded when Iran asked a ship in the Bab el-Mandeb strait ship was carrying Saudi military equipment. Last month, the Houthis declared a naval blockade. An alleged President Trump led to a secret U.S. operation last month that possibly endangered the lives of journalists and was, according to the Washington Post, swapped planes to a NATO summit in Turkey, hiding in an airport catering truck normally used to load food and supplies onto planes. Trump was then loaded onto a smaller military aircraft that departed Turkey separately, even as the White House told the public he was flying side the reporters, White House staff, and crew members. The White House was responding to what it considered a credible Iranian threat to shoot down Air Force One. That followed the joint U.S.-Israeli assassination of Iran's supreme leader, members of his family, and other top officials in February. Stephen Katz, Steady State, and a former CIA intelligence officer, said, quote, "It appears that the idea was we can reduce the danger to President Trump by offering up 100 or so people to be killed by the Iranians in his place," unquote. Civilians are dead in Russia and Ukraine after a series of deadly drone attacks overnight. Among the dead are two people killed by a Russian drone attack on Ukraine's Kherson region and a man and child killed after Ukrainian drones struck the Russian city of Novorossiysk. This follows Russian attacks on Ukraine that killed at least 12 people the previous night, leaving dozens more wounded. Abusing North Korean Children's Hospital was among buildings struck. According to the United Nations, Russia's holding over Ukrainian civilians in detention. Many are kept in isolation and are not being treated according to standards of international law. This is a Ukrainian who testified to the United Nations Tuesday about torture and sexual abuse by Russian forces.
I was lucky enough to survive. Not many of my friends were lucky enough. Two of my friends were beaten up to death in detention centers. My friends died because of the conditions they were put in Russian prisons and were returned in the plastic bags.
Meanwhile, a Moscow anti-war and liberal political party cannot run in next month's parliamentary elections. On Monday, hundreds of young supporters gathered outside, showing their support for the anti-war party by singing songs and waving flags. In Minnesota, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan has won the Democratic Party's Senate primary, securing about 60% of the vote in a matchup against Congresswoman Angie Craig. Flanagan had the backing of progressives, including Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who supported her calls for Medicare for All, a higher federal minimum wage, universal child care, and more. She spoke to supporters after polls closed Tuesday evening.
And we are going to stop Donald Trump's $1 billion and the crushing gas and fertilizer prices. We are going to fight the corruption, whether it's in the White House or in the halls of Congress, because the grift has to stop.
Flanagan is a man of Ojibwe. She could become the first Native American woman to serve in the Senate. Her primary opponent, Angie Craig, was endorsed by Democratic Party leaders, including House Minority Leader, who outspent Flanagan by a more than 4-to-1 margin and benefited from nearly $10 million in dark money spent on her behalf. Craig's loss marks another defeat for AIPAC, the American Israel Public, encouraged its members to support her campaign. Meanwhile, progressive Democrat Matt Little has won the race to fill the congressional seat Craig left to pursue her Little campaign on a pledge to support Medicare for All while seeking to ban corporate money from politics. He defeated two challengers whom he attacked. In Wisconsin, David Crowley appears to have narrowly defeated Democratic Socialist Francesca Hong for the Democratic Party's gubernatorial 98% of the expected vote tallied. Hong is in its unexpectedly poor showing for Hong after most polls showed her leading the race by double digits. In South Carolina, Darlene Graham will advance to a runoff in the race to replace her brother, Senator Lindsey Graham, who died in July. Darlene Graham spoke to supporters after polls closed.
I want to thank President Trump, his steadfast support, and his complete means so much to me.
A federal judge in Boston blocked the U.S. Post Trump's executive order to tighten mail-in voting rules before November's congressional elections. The order requires states to submit lists of eligible ballots. If the states refuse to do so, USPS would not deliver the ballots. Sophia Lynn Lakin, a voting rights lawyer with the ACLU, said in a statement, quote, necessary message to an administration that continues to weaponize portions of the government to sow chaos into our elections, she said. ICE is planning to dollars to purchase thousands of gloves that can release pics. This week, the Department of Homeland Security announced ICE agents and officers could begin carrying the gloves by March. The devices are manufactured by C, based in Lexington, Kentucky, and have been used in recent years by municipal police departments and jails. This comes after the ACLU revealed federal immigration agents deployed to Los Angeles last summer used racist slurs against Latinos profiled in operations. The discoveries came as part of a federal case that's compiled months of body camera footage, depositions, and texts messages. The $158 million contract to a group founded by a former ICE agent, unaccompanied immigrant children in the U.S. The Minneapolis-based Our Rescue was founded in 2013 by Tim Ballard, who quit his job in federal immigration enforcement to combat the sex trafficking of children, inspiring the 2020. The film drew widespread acclaim from conservatives, but others criticized it for featuring conspiracy theories perpetuated by the far-right group QAnon. Ballard abruptly left Our Rescue in July 2023, and the months after his departure, he was accused of sex trafficking, forced labor, and himself. The contract between Our Rescue and the Office of Refugee increased up to $244 million. This comes after the federal government also awarded a $150 million contract to a small Texas law firm to represent unaccompanied. Burke Law Group is based in Houston and primarily focuses on administrative law. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the number of confirmed Ebola cases has now the second largest Ebola outbreak ever recorded. The World Health Organization's recommended vaccine to see if it could protect against the strain now spreading in the DRC. This is the WHO's Director General, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus.
It's moving really, really fast. From you, my feelings, maybe expressing my feelings properly would be better by how the situation is on the ground.
Executions are scheduled in Alabama, Oklahoma, and Tennessee Thursday, and what would be the three people are put to death on the same day in the United States. In Tennessee, Republican Governor Bill Lees refused to grant clemency to Darrell Hines, who's scheduled to be executed Thursday, despite cruel and unusual punishment. Hines' attorney said the physician likely to oversee the execution is to administer lethal drugs, citing the May botched execution attempt of Tony Carruthers. Governor Lee granted him a one-year reprieve after the physician struggled for about an hour to insert the IV to administer the lethal drugs. Witnesses described the scene as a bloody mess, according to the Tennessee Lookout. Hines has suffered two paralyzed. And millions of people in Greenland, Iceland, and northern Spain will witness a total solar eclipse today, the first of its kind since 1999. A partial eclipse will be visible across a vast swath of Western Europe, northwestern Africa, and some places in North America. Here in London and the UK, people are scrambling to get the special glasses to witness the eclipse. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Biden in the UK. Coming up, the Gaza Tribunal, Britain's complicity in genocide. We'll speak to British MP Jeremy Corbyn, Niamh Gordon, and Shahid Moori. Stay with us.
I ain't got no home, man, just a wandering worker. I go from town to town, make it hard for me. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. No, I ain't got no home in this world. My brothers and my sisters are stranded on this road, the road that a million feet of trod. Now the rich man took my home and drove me from, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore. No, I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I was farming on the shares, and all my crops are laid into the banker's store, and my wife took down and died all on the cabin floor.
No home in this world anymore. A rendition from Billy Bragg in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We're broadcasting from London, where tonight the documentary about Democracy Now, Steal the Story, Please, will be at the Curzon Theater Blumhouse. We'll talk more about that later. But right now, the key issue of the day, Britain's new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, recently apologized for the Labour Party's initial stance on Gaza. On July 20th, Burnham became prime minister, succeeding Keir Starmer, who announced his resignation in June. Burnham is Britain a decade. He's the former mayor of Manchester. Shortly before becoming prime minister, Burnham posted this video online.
People feel that at the start of Israel's military action in Gaza, I'm sorry about that. The response has too often not been good enough. We need to do better. Yes, we have taken some important steps. These include recognising the Palestinian state, placing sanctions on Israeli ministers and imposing waves of sanctions on violent settlers and the organisations that support them. I also fully support the restriction sure that no British bombs or bullets can be used by the IDF in Gaza or in the West Bank. But let's be honest, the UK was too slow to call for a ceasefire, and we must now do more to strengthen our approach. Israel continues to violate the ceasefire agreement, killing innocent Palestinians. We're seeing a surge in settler violence in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, settlements displacing Palestinian communities. And Netanyahu's government is clearly attempting to make a two-state solution impossible. That's why we need to do more, which includes looking at further sanctions, both on those involved in the violence in Gaza, but also looking at measures to ban trade in goods with illegal settlements. I, like many people, feel passionately about Gaza, and I will do partners to stop the suffering, to ensure the Israeli government adheres to international law and to keep the prospect of a two-state solution alive, because this for both Israelis and Palestinians.
That was Britain's new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham. Last year, an independent Gaza Tribune. It featured testimony from 29 witnesses, including journalists, aid workers, doctors, and international law experts. The tribunal concluded the British Israel's genocide in Gaza by authorizing military, economic, and political support for Israel. The tribunal was held amidst an escalating crackdown in Britain targeting pro-Palestinian activists. Since July of last year, British police have arrested over 3,000 people for expressing support for the group Palestine. The British government declared the group to be a terrorist organization, making support for the group punishable by up to 14 years in prison. We're joined right now by the Gaza Tribunal's three co-chairs. Jeremy Corbyn, British Parliament, who served as late 2015 to 2020. He has served in the British Parliament since 19. Steve Gordon is an Israeli political scientist and professor of international law and human rights at Queen Mary University of London, the first director of Israel. And Shahad Hamouri is a Palestinian Jordanian lecturer in international law and legal theory at the University of Kent. The three have just published a new book. It's titled Britain's Complicity in Genocide. We'll spend the hour with them. MP Corbyn, it's an honor to have you back on Democracy Now! Can you respond to the new prime minister you know well over the years and his apology? What exactly does it mean?
Well, it isn't really an apology. What it says is we got the same thing and says we've got to do better in the future. Then goes on to reiterate what we were told in Parliament, that no weapons being sold to Israel could be used conceivably to kill people. If that is the case, then we should cease all arms, and we should certainly cease being a very important supplier, which is still being used to bomb and kill people in Gaza. And so it's not enough. It's sanctioned settlement goods, whilst at the same time not sanctioning those companies that work in and out of settlements and in Israel, which are supplying parts for other weapons. Likewise, the manufacture of weapons by Israel, by Britain. So he hasn't gone, as far as I'm concerned, anything like far enough in this. And the point you made, in addition, is that If he is serious about a complete change, it's a big if, then why are we criminalizing people who... A number have already been convicted and face long stretches in prison. These are tests. And there are also probably 2,500 to 3,000 people who've been arrested in contravention of the Terrorism Act 2000. We're labeling anyone that holds a placard up saying, I support Palestine Action, calling them a terrorist. Their 80s and even 90s, retired Anglican clergy people and many others. It's an absurd situation. If we are going to be serious about supporting the Palestinian people and the genocide they're still going through, we would also stop allowing Israel theory. We'd stop the sharing of security information with Israel. We would isolate Israel's military actions, all of which are directed against the Palestinian people. It's simply not enough.
You know, just coming into London overnight, I was looking at the news, and it's completely a controversial proposal, the plan now to release many people from prison to be able to fill it with other people. And you're talking about 3,000 people, not clear they would all go to prison, but that's who we're talking about clearing the prisons for?
We're talking about Syria in order to make space for peaceful protesters. It's not on their conscience any longer that they can do nothing, people. It is an absurd situation. It needs to be a reform of our prison system, and prisons should be a place of rehabilitation and education rather than solely of punishment. But then that's maybe it's a wider issue. But we're concentrating on this work that we did with Ms. Shahad and Neve to do this. And
I want to talk about the tribunal, but one more thing.
Sure.
With your position as MP, you've presented a private member about a year ago. Now, for the world, they don't understand private members' bill, but is this still posed?
It's extremely relevant and is still very relevant. Because the government had consistently refused to have an open inquiry into the way decisions were made, what information was shared in the bombardment of Gaza, and the use of RAF bases, I then proposed a private member's bill, which by an individual MP, I myself. It got through its first stage, and so we had the bill printed and published, and the details of the bill very carefully thought out and presented. It was then blocked for the main debate, which is when it would become a live issue within Parliament. That's up the independent tribunal, which we're now talking about. We're now into a new session of Parliament, because each parliamentary session lasts around a year. The new session is underway. I've secured a slot for the 11th of September, and hopefully, I can't predict for fate on it. Basically, what we saw, the complicity of Britain in the war crimes in Iraq became very obvious through Sir John Chilcot's inquiry. We want another inquiry, but this time with more teeth, to deal with in misleading information, selling weapons which have been used to kill people. If the Foreign Office are really expecting us to believe that none of these weapons that we're selling to Israel at the moment can be used to kill anybody in Gaza, then we need to know exactly what.
Professor Neve Gordon, you have are getting a number of signatures. You can tell us how many. An open letter, what, to the Prime Minister. Can you explain what you are calling?
So, again, the Prime Minister got it wrong, and we are suggesting that if it got it wrong, then this shouldn't remain on, but should manifest itself into action. So we're raising, of course, the criminalization of the Palestine Action. Talk a bit more about how they've been criminalized, maybe later on. And we're calling the group, which was proscribed as a terrorist group in July 2025.
Because I think it can be puzzling to many people around the world that these protesters are now called terrorists. And there are a handful who...
So there's two issues here. One is We have a group of people that decided that protesting and calling on the government to change no longer via about change. And therefore, they have decided to take direct action up the transfer of these weapons that have been used to kill Palestinians in Gaza to the Israeli military for the destruction of the Gaza Strip. They have been criminalized by the British government in such a way that they have been prescribed not as a radical movement, not but as a, and if they are a terrorist group, that then the sentences they will receive for carrying minor property offenses like writing graffiti on an airplane as a terrorist act, and anyone that supports them, and that's the 3,000 and somewhat mentioned, can also be sentenced to jail. Now, what happened, the second issue is that what happened in the trials is that these people were not allowed to explain their motivations. Now, let me give you an example. Like right here in the studio, Jeremy Corbyn pushes that person away, and that person sprains their ankle, and Sue is not allowed to explain in court that basically she was trying to defend Corbyn from the attack. So these people that were sentenced are not allowed to explain their motivation to prevent the harm that they carried out, which was the destruction of property. That is not allowed in court. And then the British people, the legislator also distinguished between the verdict and the sentencing. So they could not hear their motivations, had to destroy some property, decided that they did indeed destroy some property, but then in a criminal offense of the destruction of property, they were tried as terrorists. So there's a separation between verdict and can decide on that separation and can decide to judge them as terrorists for a crime that actually the whole court case was about the destruction of
property. The case of the British lawyer facing contempting speech during a trial of Palestine Action activists. Rajiv Menon KC is accused of misleading the jury and ignoring directions by the judge when representing Charlotte Head, one of the criminal damage after they broke into an Elbit Systems weapons factory in Filton in August of 2024. At a recent online webinar titled Dissent, the Rajiv Menon KC case, legal expert of court charges being brought against Menon. At the end of the event, Menon himself spoke about the case of the Filton 24, the activists arrested and charged for their direct action break-in at the Elbit Systems weapons factory. This is what
it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge the Filton 24, incredible young people who risked everything. Excuse me. To speak truth to power and to do what they thought was right when they engaged in direct action against the other. It was an enormous privilege for me to represent Charlotte Head together with Simon and Kate. We fight on for her against the draconian sentence that she received from the very judge who instigated the proceedings against me, as long as it needs to continue.
So that's Rajiv Menon, who has been held now in contempt of court. The attorney for the Palestine Action activists, Israeli professor Neve Gordon, you cite him directly in this letter signed on to scholars and practitioners of international law. Talk about including him and what exactly you are demanding of Prime Minister Burnham in this open letter.
Well, basically, the judge is lawyers to defend their clients, explain the context in which their actions took place, and is not allowing his job in this case. And when the lawyer tried to do his job, which is his calling, I need to these people, he was held in contempt of court, and if it goes through, he might even be debarred. And this is one of the UK's major barristers, and who is well respected, kind of attack both on the activists that were not allowed the trials and explain their motivations, and about the defense team that were not allowed to carry their jobs. And I don't, and so here is, again, this I think is also part of the complicity of the British government, because as it enhances diplomatic support, inviting the president of Israel to come to meetings here, the one that signed the rockets on the Gaza border that were later being launched against Gaza, as it's doing that, it is introducing new legislation that includes what we've just discussed, but also includes outlawing speech like From the River to the Sea, Intifada, anti-Zionism, and things like that. Mobilization and collective action against probably the worst crime in the 21st century. And so we're seeing this double movement of those that have been supporting the Klee being spread a red carpet, while those stance and come out ignorized.
I want to bring in the third author of the new book, The Gaza Tribunal, Britain's Complicity in Genocide, Shahid Hamouri, Palestinian-Jordanian lecturer in international law and legal theory at the University of Kent, served as co-chair of the Gaza Tribunal, the Israeli professor Niamh Gordon, and the British MP Jeremy Corbyn. Thanks so much for being with us, Shahid. If you could start off by talking about the awareness within the British populace, the public, how they're spent. What is the awareness of Britain's relationship with Israel?
So to begin with, let's be very clear. Had it not been for the UK, we could have saved tens of thousands of lives. And it was very clear for the people who went to the street that if something were to happen by the UK's government, we're able to save those too late into the future is almost offensive rather than anything that would relinquish people or allow us to breathe. So as to the British people's understanding of what was happening, it is indeed very disturbing to see the distortion that happened through mainstream media, such as the BBC, for example, where representations of Palestinians as less human were not only deep fear of the other was ingrained over and over and over again. Listening to the news, it was as if one is listening to the world saying that their life, and specifically their right to say no to a settler colony that has deprived us of our life for five generations now and over again. And the sad thing is that not only were the British people not allowed to know what was happening within their money, but also they were not allowed to even protest it. And whoever protests it is also demonized within the media space. So this was clearly where the edge of the so-called democratic system has reached. We've reached the edge of the establishment's rule, space where it allows us to express our opinions, in the sense that the moment that we touch Israel being the main factor of that interest in facilitating that, that is where everything stops. That is where an autoimmune reaction happens within the system, that it automatically reacted by blocking out any imagination, any understanding or humanization to stop this.
You've talked about what's happened in the streets, but also the suites and the government offices, that there was a kind of policy to silence and even punish civil servants who dared to speak out.
So as we saw in the testimonies that were presented in front of us, civil servants, and it must be said, invoking questions that were discussed in the Nuremberg trials, were faced with an option of you're either damned if you speak or damned if you don't, in the sense that if they were to follow their own consciousness and say no economic support to Israel, and let's be clear, under international law, any support to Israeli war economy form of supporting the genocide and falls outside of the UK's obligations, when they try to notify that. And when others are sending weapons or anything of the like is indeed in violation of Britain's own law as well as international law, they are faced with a choice. You either leave your job or you stay silent.
I wanted to go to Mark Smith, the tribunal. He was a British Foreign Office official who resigned in protest over continuing in August 2024. Smith was the lead official on the UK arms export licensing report, legally compliant. He chose to only testify by voice. I want to get your response to this, Shahid.
What I witnessed while working on that report was profoundly concerning. I was working on the report. I was routinely changed out. This was not to correct mistakes or to ensure accuracy, as would normally be the case with a civil service report, but I was actually asked to alter placement of paragraphs and to omit key information so that it quotes on bad. So this is absolutely counter civil servants, and it's something that I have never witnessed in my career, either prior to or following working on this particular report. It was also fully understood in the department that we would have these conversations, want those conversations to be requested by a court. So for anybody listening here, there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of conversations on the most controversial aspects of our arms sales policy, which will never be seen by the public, which will never be put into a court, even a closed court. We have them in person.
Mark Smith testifying at the in London, chaired by our three guests today. He was a British Foreign Office official who resigned Heathcote, a British trade public and commercial services union.
We further believe that across some areas in the civil service and its related areas, the civil service code is being used to prevent our members engaging in activity to help the people of Gaza.
Fran Heathcote, British trade unionist, Mark Smith, Shahid Hamoudi, talk about this testimony and also where this tribunal led.
So indeed, so as I said, when we teach students about the Nuremberg trials, we ask them how were civil servants that were put in such positions. What we have with Mark Smith is someone who is clear that signing this in his hand, but to be complicit in the most atrocious crimes of which we cannot speak. And the fact that we see this of the UK's government tells us how deeply ingrained is the establishment in establishing the borders of how far can British rule of law as well as British democracy go, and within spaces where we're not allowed to speak when you see these things. These people were deprived of their human to being complicit in a genocide, and indeed this is one of the most dangerous red lights that we could see in any government, whereby it is absolutely normalized to hide away one of the biggest crimes in humanity, even if it's just through signing papers and saying yes to cooperation with the Israeli military.
Gashan Shahid Hamoudi is a Palestinian-Jordanian lecturer in international law and legal theory at the University of Kent, is a professor here in London, and Jeremy Corbyn is a British MP. The tribunal that has led to a new book, The Gaza Genocide. We'll be back with them in a minute here in London.
صلي على المولى رحمن رحيم ارحم
By the Palestinian oud musician Huda Aswan. Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Gooden, today and tomorrow on Thursday. As we go back to the Gaza Tribunal, one of the witnesses was Plastic Rose. She first joined Missions to Gaza through the charity Ideals in 2019, where she contributed to the development and training of limb reconstruction specialists in Gaza. Since 2024, she's undertaken multiple. In her testimony, she spoke about operating on children each and every day and shared her operating history from one single day in May of 2025.
I looked at one day's operating, and we operated on six children. We started a child, that's not the youngest child I treated, with a 15% burn to a three-year-old boy burn. In the UK, that is a 50-50, so probably one of only two units that would be able to look after that child. Five-year-old girl who had hand down for an amputation, but we managed to salvage half of her hand and most of her forearm and shoulder. I then operated on her sister whilst my colleagues operated on her mother in the theatre next door. Her sister had had her blown off. I then operated on a seven-year-old girl who had had her knee blown off. And my final case was a 13-year-old boy who had had his left ankle blown off, and his brother was being operated.
Dr. Victoria Rose testifying at the Gaza Tribunal in London last year. Again, we are joined by the co-chairs of the Gaza Tribunal, Shahad Hamoud, University of Kent, Niamh Gordon, professor, and British MP Jeremy Corbyn, who ended up co-authoring a book together, The Gaza Tribunal, Britain's Complicity in Genocide. Niamh Gordon, we just listened to what happened in a hospital. You are formerly the rights Israel. I'm wondering if you can talk about Israel's systematic attacks on hospitals and healthcare workers in Gaza, not to mention journalists right now, and also how Britain has dealt with the issue of international law, the UK questioning the ICC's jurisdiction to protect Israel.
So we heard from Victoria operating on children. In the testimony itself, we also heard about the conditions under which she was operating, where all the hospitals, all 36 hospitals in the Gaza Strip, were bombed. A lot of them damaged, but many of them completely destroyed, and where there was no medicine, did not allow access to fuel that you need for electricity to run these hospitals, and basically systematically and deliberately the medical field. And I would say we need the listener needs to understand that when you're attacking a hospital, and it's not only the harm that is generated through the immediate attack, but it is the reverberating harm. And that reverberating harm, I would suggest, is equal to a weapons of mass destruction, because the amount of people that are going to be killed from these attacks is today unknown. But
Sophia, the head of the Kamelad Hospital in Gaza, still imprisoned.
So we have 1,700 killed in the Gaza Strip, and that is about three times the more than the level of times more likely to be killed in the Gaza Strip if you're a health worker than if you are a civilian. And then we have healthcare workers that were disappeared or taken into Israeli jails, and we know that in these jails they have been tortured and some of them have been raped. So there's a systematic assault on the remaining situation in the Gaza Strip. And the English government is is instead of looking at this pattern of assault where we have over 900 attacks on medical units in Gaza, instead of looking at it and seeing there's a pattern, deliberate is looking at each and every single attack and saying maybe, because maybe combatants were hiding in the hospitals, and what we see is only trees and we've lost sight of the forest. And the forest is the destruction of the health system in Gaza.
British MP Jeremy Corbyn. In the United States, the majority of the those who voted in the Democratic caucus, people like Congressmember Ro Khanna and others, support for Israel. Talk about the shift, if there is one, in the British Parliament, and also coming back to your new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, where he was on this, and the space you feel protests, what this forward?
I want to say a big thank you to all those in the United States that have protested and marched for Gaza, marched for the Palestinian people, because I know the hardship they faced, and I know the number of students that lost positions because of it. So I want to say a big thank you to all our friends in the US for what they've done and continue to do on this, and it's clearly making a difference. Look at the election results in the Democrat primaries. Look at the change that's happening. Because the British government's relationship with Israel is incredibly close, and there is a huge Israeli influence on the British political system, and it's very hard to hit back against that in support of the Palestinian people. Enormous demonstrations in Britain. The biggest was almost 1 million who marched on the US embassy. And I think my estimation is almost 2 million people in Britain have done something in support of the Palestinian cause. Parliament is way behind the curve on all this, but it's beginning to change. Way behind the curve before my very eyes. One night there was a manoeuvre in Parliament to prevent a vote on a ceasefire. The reaction, the public reaction, was so huge on that. A week later, you couldn't move for Labour MPs using the word ceasefire in their speeches in Parliament. Things have changed. Now, Andy Burnham said what he said. I think it's inadequate. I think it's very late. I think it's very unclear. But nevertheless, he only said that for a reason. And that was the reason was the electoral pushback against the Labour Party because of its complicit in genocide and because of the findings of what this book is about. And so my message is this. Protest works. Going on a march, you think, well, what have I done? I've just been on a march. Whereas the Palestinian people are losing everything as a result. If it's all we can do, it's an act of solidarity. It does change things. But the points that Niamh was making, the points that Shahad was making, Palestinian kids are of dehydration, of operations that can't succeed because of a lack of anaesthetic and even antiseptic. And within a few kilometres, every human-made murder of Palestinian children, it is an act of genocide, can. Our book is part of that protest, and we sent copies to Andy Burnham and to Ed Miliband and invited them to meet us to discuss the findings, to set up a government-sponsored public inquiry into Britain's complicity.
And Shahad Hamouri, from Palestine to Iran, your final thought?
They're all the same. In a sense, if the UK regrets its position in relation to Palestine, then the UK needs US in its attacks against Israel, further destabilization, as well as taking it away against the sovereignty of nations within West Asia. The US, UK, should have never been in West Asia. It's an area for its people, not for the plunder and exploitation of foreigners.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that?
I highly doubt it, to be honest. However, we shall try with every single point that we have to bring forward the paradoxes of what has happened to the English legal system as well as the English democratic system in order to put a mirror in front of them so that they can no longer claim any moral superiority after their hands are full of blood. And hoping that with that we can bring forward change little by little as per the fact that the British American people are aware of what is happening and aware of a very simple fact, and that is the people of the region should never be controlled by foreign entities, and they have every right to live equally like everyone else.
I want to thank you all for being with us. Shahad Hamouri, Palestinian Jewry, University of Kent. Neve Gordon, Israeli political scientist, professor of international law and human rights at Queen Mary University of London, and British MP Jeremy Corbyn. They three co-chaired the Gaza Tribunal and co-authored the new book, Britain's Complicity in Genocide. That does it for our show. I hope you all have glasses to see the total eclipse tonight, or 90% here in London.
You can watch it through a colander.
Oh, or through a colander. That's a new one that I've been hearing. And tonight at that same time, I'll be at the Bertha Dachma in Bloomsbury for two screenings at 6:20. Feel this story, please. Special thanks to Dennis Moynihan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm in London.
I'm on Wednesday, August 12th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast afternoon news brief. Starting with some traffic updates, for your after street from Princess Street to Opera Lane will be closed today until 4 p.m. to accommodate a crane lift of Air Units Street. Palace Road from Park Street to Bath Road will be closed today and Thursday until 7 p.m. for a concrete pour as part of the Wright Crescent Rehabilitation. Elliott Avenue is closed to through traffic until August 31st to facilitate roadway rehabilitation. The intersection of Toronto Street and Park Street will be closed daily for the installation of an all-way stop by the